Well, thanks ever so much for coming to our Nativity service this morning. It's been a great time, and it's lovely to see the children, your children, and maybe our grandchildren as well, taking part in that Nativity service. It's been a really super time. I love Nativity services, not least because the little children that really do not understand them are just reaching out to get the doll. Picked my granddaughter up just now, and she was really happy to see all the children, but when she spotted the doll, she really went for it. So anyway, that's just me and my granddaughter. Okay, we'll get over that one. Okay, so in Nativity services, we've got shepherds that shuffle along. We've got angels that flutter along, Mary and Joseph that plod along, and the wise men who purposefully and stately strut along following a star. Or in our case, a star on top of a selfie stick. An extended selfie stick. The real wise men in the history of Christ's birth, though, were looking for the right thing in the wrong place. They went to Jerusalem to find the Messiah, but he was not there. It's only when they went to Bethlehem that they found the one who actually gives the real meaning to life. These wise men, there's a lot of mystery about them. We say there were three because there were three presents that they gave. There might have been more than three, might have been less than three, but they gave three presents. We're told they're from the east, which could be anywhere from Persia, the Arabia Desert, India. We don't know, but they were from the east. More likely, they were astrologers because they were stargazers, checking the stars on a regular basis for signs for a purpose. And one night they saw a strange star, a star that they knew meant a new king had been born in Israel, a king worthy of worship and a king worthy of a very long journey for these wise men. They went in search of a king. We are all in search of something or other. They went in search for the king. This king must have been quite something if the stars pointed to him. This king must have been quite something for wise, rich people from the east to go in search of him. We know from the history records of the scriptures that this king is no less than Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the one who gives life to us all, and the one who holds the very meaning of life as well. So these wise men, they search for this king. They arrive in Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be the obvious place where a king of the Jews would be born. There, King Herod reigned. There, it was the place of the royal palace. And being the capital of Israel, where the king was, surely it would have the top doctors, the top nurses, and the top midwives. It's got to be the place where the king is going to be born. So they arrive there in Jerusalem. And their first question is the obvious one. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? We're always asking questions. Big questions of life. I'm told there are the 10 big questions of life. You can find them on Google. 10 big questions. But one of the big questions we have is this. Where is the one who will give ultimate significance and ultimate security and purpose to our life? Where is that one? Where is that person? There's lots of other things that we can find pleasure from, and there's lots of other things that we can enjoy and give us great fun, and also a little bit of meaning too. But where is the one who can give us real meaning, real purpose, real significance, real security? So they go to Jerusalem because they think they're going to find all that there. But they don't, because Christ is not born there. The ancient prophecy said that he would be born in Bethlehem. They're looking for the right thing, but in the wrong place. They should have been in Bethlehem, but they went to Jerusalem. That can be just like us, not going to Bethlehem when we should be in Jerusalem. But just like us, looking for the right thing in the wrong place. See, there's nothing wrong in looking for meaning and purpose and satisfaction and fulfillment and significance and security. Nothing wrong in looking for those things. But we'll only truly find them when we find Jesus Christ. for our souls long for reality. Each one of us has a soul. We are more than just physical beings. I think we really know that deep down. We're more than just dust. We've got a soul. And though our soul is immaterial, yet it craves for satisfaction and longs for fulfillment and searches hard for meaning. We know that we need something more. And our soul is active by nature. It's vigorous and energetic. It rages within us for something more to life. It's got a cavernous thirst for reality. But we often look for that reality and that meaning in the wrong place. C.S. Lewis, writer of Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and the other Narnia Chronicles, he once wrote this: "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists." The very fact that we are born with desires means there must be a satisfaction for those desires. So he says, a baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. People feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire with no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. So there is within our souls this desire that nothing can satisfy on planet Earth. We find pleasure in lots of different things, but deep down, significance, security, where can we find that? The very fact that we've got that desire shows us that we're made for another world, that we are made for God. But like the wise men, we search in the wrong place. So some people, they try to find reality and meaning and purpose in religion. They'll go to sacred objects and sacred places, but sacred objects and sacred places will not fully satisfy you. They try rituals and outward acts, but that leaves us feeling empty. Other people will turn in on themselves and they'll say, well, I'm the center of my universe and I'll make up my own way of living and I'll make up my own rules and I'll be my own woman, I'll be my own man, and I'll make life what I want to make it. But that's just such hard work, because you don't even live up to your own standards, nor do I. Now, religion and the outworking of our own morality will never fully satisfy us. We'll always be wanting something more. Some people dabble with dangerous and ill-advised relationships and substances, things that eventually will ruin their life. That won't give us lasting satisfaction. Other people just give up and live with deflated souls for the rest of their dull lives and just say, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Where can we really, truly find satisfaction? Not in a Rolling Stones kind of way, but where can we truly find satisfaction and meaning? It's when we look in the right place. See, these wise men, they changed direction. They went from Bethlehem, they went from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, this is what happened. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they found the Messiah, these three things happened. They were overjoyed, they worshipped, and they gave their gifts. And that is what we are made for, to be full of joy. God doesn't want people to be miserable. Sometimes we have this picture of God as this taskmaster, this guy in the sky with a club, just wanting to beat us so we're not happy. That is not God. God is the creator of every good and perfect thing. God wants us to have joy. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have satisfaction. But we won't find it in passing worldly things. A little bit, maybe, but not ultimately. When they find the Messiah, they are overjoyed. That's the experience of a Christian person. They've got that joy of God deep in their hearts. Second thing they found was that they worshipped him. We were created to worship. Because we're created beings, we all want to worship something. Everybody worships something. Everybody does. Throughout the whole world, whenever they find new tribes, they always find an object of worship. Because we are made for God. So we want to worship. And when we find the true God in Jesus Christ, we really worship. We worship with all our heart, and our life is based on him. And the third thing that these wise men find when they find the Messiah is that they want to give away their treasures. We were made to give. We're made in the image of God. That doesn't mean to say that God has a body like us, but we are made just like God's personality. And God is a giver. So we want to give. And we find tremendous satisfaction when we give. Now, it's always nice to receive, isn't it? Looking around the Christmas tree, what your present is. It's to me, or what is it? You feel it and you want to know what it is. It's nice to receive, but it's more blessed to give. And when we give, we're doing that very thing for which we were created. So when we find the right thing in the right place, then we will be full of joy, we will worship, and we will give. Basically, our life will be changed. And we'll only find the right thing in the right place when we look for Jesus Christ. For when we find him, then we find meaning, purpose, reality, significance, and security. One day Jesus did go to Jerusalem. He wasn't born there, but he died there. And he died upon a cross. And because he died upon a cross, that means he died for me. Because he never sinned, not once. And it's only the soul that sins is the soul that will die. So how come he died? He died for other people's sins, for mine, for yours. And because he died, I can live. And because he was condemned, I can be forgiven. And because he lost his life, I can gain my life. For in his death upon the cross comes my acceptance with God. And he didn't just die in Jerusalem. He rose again in Jerusalem as well on the third day. And because he rose again, that means he's alive today. So he can be found, and he is not far from each one of us. So how do we find him today? Let's look for the right thing. Let's look for meaning, purpose, significance, security. But let's look for it in the right place, in Jesus Christ. And when you find him, you'll find those things. Where can he be found? He can be found when you call upon him. Just pray. Pray to him. Say, Lord, I accept who you are, the Messiah. I believe you came into this world to be my Savior. I confess you as my Lord and my God. And I will be your disciple from now on, always looking for the right thing in the right place. Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to know more about these things, then we run a course here called Just Looking, and we're going to be running it shortly after Christmas. Well, probably in February for around about 6 weeks. If you want to know more about that, then do please ask Susan at our welcome desk afterwards. Well, let's stand to sing our next song, our last song. And after we've sung this song, I'll close with a word of prayer, and then tea and coffee are served out in the conservatory. Let's stand to sing.